Appreciate the way that the choir has led us in worship and in a good focus. And we will respond in some singing in just a moment. There will be a devotional. And I remind you, on the back of the bulletin, there's room to take some notes, write down some references that you can look back at and review over the week. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are indeed grateful for grace that has been given, and you have enabled us to receive that grace. And then we sing and speak of that grace and hopefully live out this glorious hope. We pray that this Christmas, the gospel is proclaimed in and by us, that we don't just get caught up in the cultural side of things at the expense of the eternal message that we are to proclaim. We've been reminded of a hope that is grounded in revelation. It is certain. There's no uncertainty about what you have given and done and promised. We have heard songs that have reminded us that this hope has come from above. Millions of people are gathering in churches where they are told that they are to work up this hope within themselves. They are to look deep and find hope. They are to look to the fellow man. They are to look to their government. All of this is a failed lie of the devil. We look from above, where this hope has come from God who cannot lie. We ask that this gospel, this hope that we have today, as we have been reminded, would help us to look back at what you have done and answered prophecy. Look to the future of your coming as the day spring from on high, and would cause us to look presently to you. For with God nothing shall be impossible. So this first advent expects a second advent. And we thank you that our hope is grounded in the God who cannot lie. Thank you for this and ask your blessings on our service. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you probably figured out, all of the songs that the choir sang this morning were all Advent songs, that which looked forward to Jesus coming. And the idea behind this service is that the choir would point us to the yearning, the longing, the waiting, and the wanting that the people of Israel had for hundreds of years, which we can't quite comprehend. Because as we have heard and we know, hope has come. To them, they were looking forward. So what I'd like to do here today is take all of that where they worshiped, even in the uncertain certainty that they had in the promise of God, and now frame it to the present day and also to the future. And how do we live in the reality that hope has come? The season of Advent is certainly historical, but it's not merely a historical event. Advent is certainly symbolic, but it's not just a countdown to Christmas of sorts. It's a celebration of the peace and love and joy that came from that first centuries-long waiting period. And it's a declaration of the hope that was both prophesied and fulfilled in the person of Jesus. And it's the same hope that's found today in the same person. The music we've heard tonight or today has carried us through this longing, promise, fulfillment, and yearning. And each song has echoed the same truth, but in different voices. And this truth is, God is faithful and his hope is sure. Titus 2, 11 through 13, very well-known verses. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In just three verses of this passage in Titus, the Apostle Paul gives us this truth again as a summary theology of Advent. Past, present, and future, all in this passage, captured in powerful statements. Titus 2 basically tells us that grace has appeared, grace is at work, and glory will appear again. Or to say it how we've been singing it here this morning, hope has come, hope is here, and hope will come again. First, hope has come. The first part of Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. We opened tonight with the song, Come Messiah. And when we did, we kind of stepped into the longing of generations where they were pleading for Messiah to come. Hundreds of years of silence going to be answered in a baby. But the word appeared there is important. It means something that was once hidden is now visible. Something long anticipated has finally arrived. I'm sure we can all relate. Some of you look forward to graduations. I mean, now they graduate every two grades, right? So you have something to look forward to all the time. maybe it's a vacation. I know my wife's always posting beach pictures. I don't know if that's a message to me or not. Or maybe it's the anticipation because, oh, that big present wrapped under the Christmas tree. I wonder what it is. And I'll know on Christmas morning. Or maybe in our case, maybe it's a due date for a grandchild. You know, whatever the case may be, something has appeared. And now you're joyful. But regardless of the analogy here, like with the Christmas present, that's really what we celebrate at Christmas, right? Hope didn't remain a mere promise spoken by prophets. Grace appeared. Grace entered human history. Grace took on flesh. And then as the choir moved in to bring us hope, that person now brings with it not just flesh and bone, not just the accomplishment of a prophecy. It verbalized the ache of that waiting people. They were crying out for rescue and light and deliverance. And God answered. Not with a plan, not with a process, but with a Savior. The light of the world blazed through the darkness, broke the chains of bondage, and delivered his people from their sins. The glorious grace of God appeared in a measly manger in Bethlehem, and the long-awaited one came right on time. Advent and Christmas declare this truth, that God keeps his promises. Hope has come. But hope is here. That verse goes on to say, the grace of God not only has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, but now what is it doing? What is grace doing? It is training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. So we've come from the past. The grace of God has appeared. Now we're in the present, in this present age. And although the past is momentous, I mean, that's what we celebrate, right? At Christmas, that hope came. Paul doesn't move quickly past the present because grace is not only something that appeared, it's something that acts. It works. The hope of Christ does not remain in the past tense. It shapes how we live now. The choir then sang, "Long-awaited one." And we celebrated together that Jesus is more than a moment in history. He is Lord. He reigns in our hearts today, and he will rule in majesty forever. And we were reminded that while Christ has come, the world is still being redeemed. There's ungodliness. There are worldly passions. And God, through his grace, is empowering us to combat these and live lives that reflect the goodness of our great God. We live in the present age, as Paul calls it, between promise fulfilled and promise completed. Hope is here because Christ is here. Emmanuel, God with us. And it's here through his Spirit, convicting of sin, guiding in truth, coming alongside to comfort. It's here through his Word, revealing Christ, renewing our minds, strengthening our faith. Hope is here through his people, as we share together in sufferings, as we commune together in Christ, and as we glorify him together. We do not wait alone. And we don't suffer without purpose. And we don't hope without assurance. Emmanuel means God is with us right now. Hope has not only come, hope is here. And hope will come again. The verse goes on to say, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And now here's our final point in the summary theology of Advent. Has come, is here, will come again. Because Advent, whether it was Israel or whether it's us, is always a time of looking forward. We're waiting. And the same passage here that celebrates Christ's first appearing, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, points us toward his second as well. Paul calls it our blessed hope, the confident expectation that Jesus will return, not in humility this time, not wrapped in swaddling cloths, not in some meager accommodations. No, he will come in glory. He will be arrayed in brightness, and he will be ruling on his throne. Hope will come again. And that's the yearning we heard in that final song tonight. The longing for restoration. The longing for justice. Longing for the day when all things are made new. The first Advent assures us that the second Advent will come. Jesus came once to save. He will come again to reign. And that promise transforms how we wait. We wait with expectation, not with anxiety. With joy, not despair. Because hope has a future, which happens to be the same as the past. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hope past, hope present, hope future, our glorious God and King, Jesus Christ. Hope will come again. So Titus 2, 11 through 13 gives us the full Advent story in just a few lines. Grace has appeared. Grace is at work. Glory will appear again. But I've been using grace and hope interchangeably, and maybe that's not quite synonymous. So how exactly does grace fuel hope? Because hope is one of the most powerful words in the Christian faith, not just blind optimism or wishful thinking, but a confident assurance rooted in the promises of God and the power of the resurrection. Romans 5:2 puts them together this way. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. 2 Thessalonians connects them this way. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. And 1 Peter connects them this way. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, grace is a divine provision that makes eternal hope a reality, giving strength for today and an unshakable confidence for tomorrow. So, we joyously and boldly proclaim together, hope has come. Hope is here. Hope will come again. This is the song of Advent. This is the promise of Christmas. And this is the hope we carry in our hearts and share with the world. Hope has come. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for all that you have done for us. And yet we so often trivialize this time of year because it's a tradition, or we do certain things at certain times, and we forget that that past event is a present reality, and it shapes our future thinking and action. And so help us to respond correctly, not just rejoicing in the fact that grace has appeared and we're saved, but that there's a battle right now that grace empowers and hope gives confidence for. And we have a future because hope is eternal. And so we praise you for your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.